Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
Yes, 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 yes. No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
The Truck Show. We're going to show you what we know. We're going to answer what the truck. Because truck rides with the truck show. We have the lifted, we have the lowered, and everything in between. We'll talk about trucks that run on diesel and the ones that run on gasoline.
The truck show, the truck show, the truck show, whoa, whoa.
It's the Truck Show with your hosts, Lightning and Holman.
This episode of the Truck Show podcast, Have You Heard? Is proudly presented by Nissan with the Frontier, Titan, and Titan XD. Nissan has a truck for every need, along with the legendary Nissan durability. Test drive your next truck at a local Nissan dealer today, or point your browser to NissanUSA.com, where you can use the build and price tool to configure a Nissan truck that fits your lifestyle.
And when you're thinking about adding power or improving fuel economy, Banks has over 65 years of experience. Whether it's cold air intakes or exhaust systems, tuning, throttle control, charge air cooling, lubrication components, and much more, no one offers smarter, safer, 50-state emissions-compliant performance parts than Gale Banks. You'll find the best engineered parts for your truck at BanksPower.com.
This is the show where they talk breaking news, and this is the part where Coleman asks Lightning, have you heard?
Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
Welcome to Barnes & Noble!
No, I have not.
You should have, because you were there. Our friend Scott Birdsall took a Toyota pickup truck with a 2JZ and went super, super fast.
That is true.
What do you know? Tell me everything.
Here's the deal. So I've been working with Scott Birdsall for quite some time, trying to get some Banks products into his 2JZ-powered mid-90s Toyota Hilux.
Let me just point out that Scott Birdsall and I trade about 4,000 memes a day.
Yes, and they're all dirty and they can't be shared with the public.
I'm not going to share them, but okay. I did call him out, and he posted your deal with the time where it looked like you made the O face after the time showed up on the board.
Sure.
You looked like that. Where you made
I've seen that.
Face.
Yep. Yep.
And I wrote to him, thanks for the invite. And he just wrote, blame him, LOL.
I don't think... It didn't even occur to me to invite you, and you wouldn't have gone anyway.
I would have gone, actually.
No way.
I was free that day.
Really?
To go see Scott Birdsall, go set a some sort of a speed record in a Toyota truck.
Would you really have gone?
Yes. Why wouldn't I? Hey, our buddy Scott Birdsall has been talking about this truck for a year and a half, 2 years now. Mm-hmm. It's finally running. He has to go test it out before he tests it out on the salt. I'm going to go watch him do that.
Okay, it didn't even occur to me that you would go.
Like you don't even know me.
No, I guess I don't. I don't know.
You asked me about something and I told you and you go, "Oh, I'll be at the racetrack." And I'm like, "Huh. Wonder what he's talking about, racetrack."
See,
I thought that to myself.
That's how I feel every time you're like, "Oh, I was in the desert this weekend." And I'm like, "Thanks."
I haven't done that in a long time, but normally when I'm somewhere, it's not like lately hasn't been just me by myself.
Okay, well,
I'm
sorry. I would have actually enjoyed your presence there. I didn't even think about it.
Well,
I just didn't think of you with like racing and stuff.
I've literally gone racing. I've raced in the Baja 1000.
Well, this is street racing.
I was at Diesel Power when we towed a trailer 141 miles an hour and set a Guinness Book of World Records.
You make a good point. I'm sorry.
My friend Charlie down the street has a land speed car.
I didn't know that. I didn't know any of these things.
Jesus.
I don't know. What's your wife's favorite color? I don't know.
That's fine. No, that's better because I don't feel bad. No, I don't feel bad now.
Yeah, all right.
No, I'm fine. If you don't know that, then there's no way you would know.
Do you
know
your wife's favorite color?
Absolutely.
What is it?
You should ask her. All right, back on to Scott Birdsall here.
So Scott Birdsall, I first saw this truck back at SEMA last year. We had Lockjaw and Scott's Toyota Hilux in the AMSOIL booth, and I helped him push it in and get it all set. It was super, super cool.
So your handprint went?
My handprint? What do you mean my handprint?
You pushed it in.
Yes.
So your handprint went how fast?
Oh, my handprint went 173.8 miles per hour. That's how fast it went. So he's got this really cool Ivan Stewart livery on the side of the truck. It's lowered. It's got like Steely's narrow 225 tires. It looks cool, but it's not until he opens the hood that you go, oh my gosh. And it's just, the engine is just a work of art.
It's basically like a billet looking 2JZ.
It's just a work of art.
And those of you who don't know, a 2JZ is a inline six that was famous in the Supra. And have you, well, I think we've talked about the prices on those cars these days.
Huge money.
$150,000 for a car with 100,000 miles in a stick.
Yeah.
I mean, just crazy.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, so this engine is known for, you can make
reliability, big power.
900 plus horsepower.
Yeah.
And this particular one is making 1,200 horsepower to the wheels on the dyno. It's bonkers.
That is bonkers.
So we put three Banks iDash data monsters in this and a whole lot of sensors. So Scott would know more about what's happening between the nose of the truck and the air intake, basically the turbo inlet. So that's how I became a little more familiar with the vehicle. We had our engineers talking to his engineers and working through this whole thing. Ultimately, this truck is going to end up at the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah, trying to break the world record, which is currently 222 miles per hour for a mini truck. And
which is bonkers itself.
It's nuts.
To use a Lightning term.
It's nuts. And so this was going to be his test and tune, basically. It was a shift sector event. And if you're in the western states, you may have heard of shift sector. They take over airstrips and they usually do a mile long. It's not timed. It's just go. And whatever you hit at the end of the flag is what you do.
Wind helping you, whatever, it doesn't matter.
And wind was helping us a little bit this time, but usually it can be against you, it can be side draft, whatever.
Sure.
There was Kawasaki Ninjas, two of them going over 220 miles an hour out there. There was
wild.
Lamborghini, Huracans, Aventadors.
And you think I wouldn't want to go to that?
Yeah, dude, there was a
There
was a guy in an E30 series wagon, in a BMW wagon doing 170 miles an hour. All kinds of interesting, weird vehicles. There was even a Golf doing like 140.
Was his the only truck?
His was the only truck. So I got the call that he was going to go out there and do this test and tune. He's like, I just want to see if it runs. By the way, he's in Northern California.
Yep. Santa Rosa.
And Santa Rosa on the north of San Francisco.
Way up there.
And then he's going to drive down 13 plus hours to go to the desert that is south of where we are right now. Towards San Diego. It is a long ass drive, but he's going to get accurate timing, accurate speed, all this stuff, and we're going to help him measure it. So he trailers it all the way down, and there was a whole host of issues along the way. His tow rig and all this other stuff happened, but he made it there successfully.
Towing it with a nuke van?
He was not. No, he was towing it with a borrowed Ford F-250. This is a comedy of errors. He has an old Ram 5.9. When I say Ram, it's not old. It's beautiful. It's pristine. It's got a bunch of miles, but it looks beautiful. He wanted to stop by Banks on the way down because we're right off the 10 freeway, as you know. And on the way out, he was going to have to pass our building. He wanted to stop with his new, with his 5.9 Cummins tow rig with all the Banks parts on it and show it off to Gail. So here's me trying to overnight him some parts. Well, unfortunately, the first shipment of parts that I sent up to him for the tow rig ended up in Temecula at one of his clients. Somehow we messed up the address and we sent the parts to Temecula, which is an hour in the wrong direction. It's completely wrong.
It's an hour and a half, basically southeast of where we are.
So it's not 9 hours north to him. It's an hour south.
Hour and a half
south. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that was totally wrong. That set him back. So I said, oh, man. All right. Well, listen, the parts are fine. They're on a pallet. They're not going anywhere. We'll collect them. I'm going to send a new shipment. This is now 2 days late. And he has to leave the next day. I'm going to overnight another bunch of parts to him for 10 a.m. delivery the next morning. I get a text from him. It's 11 a.m. Any idea where these are? I said, according to my FedEx tracking, they're supposed to be there before 10:30 a.m. 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Do you get a discount for them not meeting the time period?
That's a great question. I would have to talk to Ryan, our shipping manager. 4:30 rolls around. The parts finally show up. And I go, are you going to have time to install them? He says, nope, got to borrow a truck. Because his truck was in pieces.
Because he was waiting for the parts.
He trucks it all the way down. He gets down to, you guys may have heard of Coachella.
They heard about it on the show, and we joke about band names.
Yeah, exactly. So this racetrack is about an hour south of Coachella, in the middle of frickin' nowhere. Really nice track in this airstrip, blah, blah, blah. He gets out there, and he pulls the truck out. He preps it. It's on pure methanol. It smells crazy, as he calls it man perfume. and it sounds angry as all get out. He does his first run. Oh, and the alternator doesn't work. So every time he does a run, it's sucking the batteries dry because he's got some crazy MSD ignition or I don't remember what type of ignition it was, but it was like 30 amp draw every time he did a run. So he'd come back and have to charge it like a remote control car, like an RC car. What he also discovered is that his stepped boost control, it was supposed to be like he could turn up the notch. Like each run, he would turn up a notch. He would start at wastegate spring boost pressure and then go all the way slowly up to 42 pounds of pressure on this Garrett turbocharger. What he discovers through some of the data logging that we were taking there is setting one was wastegate spring pressure. Setting two was all the beans. Oh, 42 PSI.
Woo.
So he was either at like
no beans or lots of beans.
400 horsepower. Or 1,200 horsepower, nothing in between.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't figure out why he was just smoking the tires halfway down the track. So once he finally figured that out, he was able to feather it. All he wanted to do is just go over 150 miles an hour. That was like the goal, somewhere in there. Just like, how well does this thing perform? And he just laid into it on his last run. 173.8. beating his current half mile record in Old Smoky, that Cummins powered F1. It was
Rest in peace, Old Smoky.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Which was 167.
So let me guess. You did your job and got some audio.
I'm going to play that right here. Holman, we are on the way to a steakhouse. Scott has reserved 5 spots for us, and we're celebrating because Scott now has the world record for fastest mini pickup truck half mile. Any pickup truck.
Yeah, fastest pickup truck in the half mile.
At what speed?
173.8.
That's right.
And that's with a ton of problems, like no traction, shifting issues, no charging.
What he means by no charging is no alternator.
Yeah. Yeah, the alternator. We had to charge it like an RC car. So we'd charge it for 45 minutes and then put it back on then go for a run, then put it back on the charger again.
So what happened is he discovered that as he was cruising along, it was at like 12 volts and then 11.8, and he was concerned that alternator wasn't working, and his Haltech, it's got to have a cutoff, like 10.5, 11 volts or something. And so he'd come back to the pit and hook up this little portable generator to a C-Tech charger designed for his anti-gravity batteries and then charge it. And so he would charge it up for about 45 minutes or an hour, get it up to 13 volts, and then take it for a couple of runs. The first, take me through your first run.
So the first run, it was at wastegate spring, which I was fine. But that's only 6 PSI, and it probably made 350 horsepower. So it was really slow. Second run was where we found our first bug in the tuning. Is it supposed to have 7 steps of boost, but instead of that, it had 1 step of boost. So as soon as you pushed up on the boost control, it went to full kill, which was 42 PSI. And it made, you know, nearly 1,200 horsepower at 42 PSI on a 225 tire, which is a pizza cutter. And it was completely undrivable.
How did you find that out, my friend?
By pushing the gas down and boiling it.
No. You saw a data log that confirmed something.
Yeah, no. So on the iDash, I saw the data showing that we were at 42 PSI instead of what I was supposed to be at was 18. So
you went from 0 beans to all the beans.
Yeah. Well, 6 beans to 42 beans.
Yeah. He comes back. He charges the battery after the first run. How many runs did you make? 3, 4?
I think I made 4 runs total. The third run, I did it, and it felt really good because I did a burnout first to try to get some more traction. And then I took the fourth run, and I botched the start, like bogged it super bad. I went to shift from third to fourth. I must have moved my hand like one extra movement because I went from third to fifth, completely missed fourth, and then I said, screw it, and I put my foot in it the rest of the way and went 173 with all those problems. Pretty stoked.
And you didn't really know.
You came back. You knew that you went fast, but no, you didn't know your speed.
So I have a giant tablet in there that shows the GPS speed, but the GPS speed, it lags a little bit. So it told me I did 169. And then I came in and you told me I did 173.8, and I was pretty freaking pumped. Like, I thought it was 169. 169 still, it still would have that record, but 173 is way spicier.
And so that record was held by Old Smokey.
Yeah.
So and you just bested yourself.
Yeah, I just took Old Smokey's last record he held away from him. So.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, I own it, so I'm not that mad.
How did it feel? I've never been that fast in a vehicle before. How did it feel at 173 going through that trap?
Oh, it felt like a freight train. Like, it was super stable. Couldn't feel the wind. It just felt really good.
Hold on. You said that your butt was puckering enough to make diamonds.
So, no, that's after I went through the traps and realized I had to stop.
Oh. Yeah.
So this thing, it has 15-inch wheels on it and little tiny brakes. It's got the biggest wheel widths we could possibly put on it. But when you're trying to haul something down from that much speed in that short a distance, you start crushing diamonds, you know? The butt pucker is pretty intense. I mean, it slowed it down and stopped, but the brakes were really hot at the end. And I didn't want to try to do that turnaround and make another pass, so I just parked it. The cool thing is, without like the shifting issues, so another thing too, I also had to lift for every shift because I didn't have the ignition cut set for the correct amount of milliseconds in the tune. So instead of flat shifting, completely full throttle shifts, I had to lift every time I pulled the sequential shifter. So
how does it normally you don't have to lift at all?
Normally full throttle, no lift. You just bang it like a motorcycle. But, you know, I didn't have the shift delay right, so that didn't quite work out. But if the shift delay was working and, you know, after I know my parachute works right, that's another reason why I didn't try to go for another run is I've never used the parachute. Let's say I commit to using the parachute because there's no way I'm going to stop this thing at 200 miles an hour at the end of that track. There wasn't enough shutdown room with these brakes. If I tried to do that with the parachute and then I didn't have the parachute mounted right or something wasn't freaking ride on that, it'd be a yard sale like into the building that's like a half mile down at the end of the track.
Yeah, so this is an airstrip and it ends and then you have to transition onto their road course, right? Yeah. Which is surrounded by dirt and
after you cross a dirt road.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah. At the end of the shutdown area there's a dirt road and then it's a hard left onto the road course to travel back. So I barely got it slowed down for the dirt and then made a pretty aggressive turn onto the road course. This truck is absolutely capable of doing 200 miles an hour in the half mile. And we'll find out later this year after I get it all dialed in and everything else. So no traction, really poor shifting by me, terrible launch, still made 173 miles an hour. I'm pretty impressed with the setup.
And you have to do what at Bonneville with this truck? Because that's originally what it was designed for.
So at Bonneville, I have 7 miles to, you know, get my speed, and the record for my class is 189 and some change. We're less than 20 miles an hour away from that.
A half mile,
and the truck is super stable. So my goal is to be the fastest mini truck ever, no matter what class it is at Bonneville, and that's 222 right now. My goal is 240, and I think after today, I'm pretty confident that we can do that. We just have to keep our fingers crossed that there's no gremlins.
Well, listen, we're going to go out and eat right now. I just want to thank you for having me along. And I'm honored to have been able to see this in person.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll make it to Bonneville. And it was really special to see you break that record and all the trials and tribulations to get just to this place. And you crushed it like almost effortlessly.
I wouldn't say effortlessly. I was like, pretty stressed out. But that
run that you did it was, that last run was effortless. Like,
yeah,
it just made it, no
it
problem.
Was. Yeah, it did it, no problem. And I mean, I did it out of anger. I was just like, screw this, I'm going to freaking pin it to win it and hope I don't die at the end. But yeah, it worked out. Everything was cool. You guys were a big help. You know, you guys working with the Banks iDash and giving me the data and showing me where the boost was and everything, that was a big help too, so.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, let's go eat.
Cool.
Oh, my keys.
Oh, my God, that fucking...
Longhorn Steakhouse, here we come.
Dude, now I'm even more pissed off you didn't invite me. The hell?
Sorry.
Are you, though?
Nah, I mean a little bit.
Oh, okay.
The Truck Show Podcast is a production of Truck Famous LLC. This podcast was created by Sean Holman and Jay Tillis with production elements by DJ Omar Khan. If you like what you've heard, please open your Apple Podcast or Spotify app and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're a fan, there's no better way to show your support than by patronizing our sponsors. Some vehicles may have been harmed during the making of this podcast.
$173.
Holy s***. So this is the fastest truck in the half mile.
173.87.
Damn, almost 174.
Yeah.
That's all an ass.